Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, yes, later in the day, we witnessed this incredible comeback or choke job, however you want to refer to it, in the Giant Bronco game. But a few hours before that, we were watching football get set back by about 50 years, watching the horribleness that was the New York Jets losing to the Carolina Panthers 13-6 to begin the Aaron Glenn era 0-7. And we talk about it with the great Joe Beningo, and his Monday call-in with us is brought to you by Approved Oil. Visit freezetherate.com, H.O. Gross Jewelers of Garden City, Total Orthopedics, the experts at getting you back to being you, and by Audi Manhattan, where luxury meets excellence. Another Sunday, another wasted Sunday, as the Jets suck again. How are you, Joe? Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm not doing too bad. I could be a lot better. Let me say, first of all, thank you again to the great Sean Winters for inviting me to the game yesterday, and my wife there, my son. It was a great day, beautiful day, great weather, and then the game started. And then the game started. So, yeah, I'm going to start with this, okay? I'm going to get right to the crux of the major problem that the New York Jets have, and that's the owner, Woody Johnson. You know, let's tell it like it is. And I don't know, who was it, him? Was it Glenn? A combination of the two. These two geniuses that signed off on letting a Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback who wanted to be here say, get lost, okay? And ever since that move, that is a move that I as a Jet fan look at now as one of the worst moves in the history of the franchise. Mm. I mean, it is right up there.
Right, but Joe, don't you think that's short term? In the long term, is it going to be good or no?
But Teague, could I have a football season? First of all, he's not going to be here. He's not our quarterback for the next 10 years. We could have had this guy, had a competitive year.
Oh, okay? I see what you're saying. So instead of Justin Fields,
right.
You do a year, or maybe if he's really good, two, with Aaron Rodgers, you're already paying him anyways.
Right.
So why move on and go get somebody who's so significantly worse and now probably not even going to start anymore?
Right. And now maybe it would affect our draft position a little bit. You know, maybe we'd be a little better. But we talked about it every week, Teak. We talk about it. There's so many damn quarterbacks out there in college football. I don't know. There's going to be probably, maybe I'm crazy, I would say 8 to 10 guys who are going to be first-round draft choices that are quarterbacks in college.
Right.
And to me, it's all about picking the right guy. I don't know who the right guy is. Is Mendoza the right guy? I mean, I don't know. Is he? I don't know that. Is Sellers the right guy? Even how about this kid Pavia at Vanderbilt, who I watched, you know, beat LSU on Saturday? You know, I don't know who it is. But I don't know if I want the combination of Aaron Glenn and this guy Muji, whatever his name is, making the call. Do I want these guys making the... Ev, do you want these guys making the call on our quarterback?
I'm scared right now because look at the replacement Aaron Rodgers replaced. He replaced Russell Wilson and he replaced Justin Fields.
Justin Fields is 0-6 here and got pulled. So obviously Steeler coaching knows how to get more out of players than we do. Mm-hmm. And so if they draft, let's say Fernando Mendoza's the truth, will he be ruined by this coaching staff?
Right. That's a, That's 100%
and that, and that's what, to me, that's what the next 10 weeks are about. I mean, I'd like to be entertained. I'd like to win some games. But they almost have to prove to us and ownership, if they're paying attention, do they, can you trust them to develop the next quarterback of this
team?
There's
no reason to think that we should.
You're right.
I mean, but you know what, though? Really, seriously, as I said before, it comes down to this owner. Woody, are you kidding me? I know all the Jet, you're all out there listening. All the people in Jetland that can't stand me are all over there right in Florham Park. They got their little minions that listen to everything that's said about the franchise. Okay, right? You know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I am throwing this out there to Mr. Johnson, okay? You know, Woody, you and I got a lot more in common than you probably think, and I don't want to get into that. But one thing isn't that you are a terrible freaking owner. Give me 40. I want a 40-minute sit-down in a closed room somewhere with Woody Johnson. Are you listening to that, people in Florham Park? Woody,
what are you going to say to him?
Oh, I got a lot to say. Hey, give me a half hour, and let's talk about this woebegone franchise, which is the worst franchise in professional sports. How much more can the Jet fan take? I mean, all my guys, we were all there. I know you went to the game yesterday, even though I didn't see you, but everybody was there. Like I said, I mentioned the great Sean Winters. Ira in Staten Island was there. My buddy Tommy Keenan was there. My buddy Joe Jett was there. All these guys, right, Eddie Anzalone was there, Fireman Ed. Everybody is there at this game, okay? You know, we're 0-6, but here we are because we have this love-hate relationship with this freaking franchise. All right? Enough is enough. If this guy goes 0-17 or 2-15, you're bringing this guy back? You're going to trust these people to be the guys to develop this quarterback? You got to be kidding me. I mean, I'm delirious, Ev, and we have hit. We are at rock bottom.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. It's absolute rock bottom.
Well, Joe, the only thing that, you know what tells you that it's week 7, and you're talking about who's going to be your quarterback,
right?
In the draft,
right? Right.
We're not talking about maybe Tyrod Taylor gives us a better chance next week. You're talking about who you're drafting in 2026,
right? And we got 10 games, and Evan Tiki, we got 10 games.
I know.
I got to deal with this for 10 more games. You got to be kidding me.
It was, so I was sitting all the way upstairs in the 300s, and there is a sadness in that building. Mm, there is a depression in that building.
Unbelievable.
And, like, early in the game, and this was the discussion upstairs, I'm sure you were having it, even though it didn't matter, which is, when do we pull Justin Fields? He sucks.
Right.
When do you make the decision? I think he got it right. I mean,
By the way, can I say this, pull him.
Yes.
He should have left him in the game.
Yeah.
When Fields went out of the game with that concussion when he got that cheap shot in the second quarter.
Oh, yes, yes.
He should have just left him in the game there.
And
I want to go to two plays in this game yesterday that really were the difference in the game in my mind, okay? First one was during that sequence when Taylor hits, I don't know, one of these stiffs, Reynolds or Taylor, Johnson, you know, these guys who aren't even NFL receivers, that's another problem we have.
Right.
You know, he hits them on like the 5-yard line. Oh, but wait a minute. There's an illegal shift penalty. I think it was on Lazard.
Lazard.
How is Lazard still on his team? Mm. They would have scored there probably. That's number one. The second one. And this is all on Tyrod.
Oh, the trick play, right?
Oh, my God. He's got Lazard wide open for a touchdown. He underthrows him.
Oh, Joe, but you know what the crazy thing is? That ball still hit Alan Lazard dead in the chest.
He stinks. Alan Lazard stinks.
Hit him in the chest.
He had more penalties than catches yesterday, Alan
Lazard. You
know
what kills me about our receivers, and specifically Lazard? And I don't know how he did what he was because he had Rodgers in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching the Giant game after I come home, and I'm watching guys for the Broncos. Who was it that made that play, the last catch that was made, the 22-yard catch?
Oh, Sutton. Cortland Sutton.
He's got two guys hanging on. Even the other one, the one before that to Mims, there were three Giants there. Even another Denver receiver was getting in his way, and this guy comes up with the ball. Can I see somebody come up? Can Lazard go up and catch the damn ball?
No, dude, and that's the same thing on defense, too. Can someone make a play? Like, J.C. Horn made a freaking incredible play for an interception. No one on this team, on offense or defense, makes a play, like a big play.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And dude, the most exciting part of that game yesterday was actually that trick play. because you could see it develop. It's like, whoa, yeah, okay,
oh, there.
Wild guy.
There. Right. And he's right in front of me. Was there.
And yep. Tyrod screwed it up by underthrowing him.
Right.
But
totally.
To Tiki's point, Al Lazard, it's on his chest.
Al Lazard stinks. And then he throws the pick on the next play. Now, I'm going to ask you this because I'm in the stadium and maybe you saw it better than me. The second interception Taylor throws.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It looked like the guy put the ball on the ground. Now, am I wrong or right about that? Because to me, Glenn could have challenged that. He had already won two challenges. So you got a third challenge.
So I give you an answer on this one because I'm in the building, thought the same thing, especially the replay they showed.
Right.
I texted a buddy of mine, and I ended up seeing the video. It was a catch.
Right.
It was just
that one? What happened in that one?
It was the J.C. Horn
interception.
That was where
he puts the ball on it on the ground
down the sideline. Right.
Yeah,
another bad throw. But
definitely.
It was a catch, and they couldn't challenge it because it was a turnover. So the league had to on their own review it because all turnovers are subject to review.
It wasn't even
a Glenn thing.
Right.
And
I see.
It was a catch, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. I didn't even have, I don't know how you felt about the opening drive when he went for it on fourth down.
He should have kicked the field goal, bro.
Well, yeah. I didn't have a problem with it, but if we had a real quarterback, you know, this guy, if I'm not mistaken, that play, I think that he missed the receiver by, he threw it behind him like 5 yards.
Yes.
If I remember correctly.
He did.
On a play.
He did. It's it. And the thing we thought, and in the first drive, you saw this, using Justin Fields' legs, like scramble a little bit or design runs.
Right.
He only had three carries.
We talked about this every week.
100%, man. This is how he's going to find success.
About this.
Is using his legs to get in space and do something athletic. And eventually, hopefully, he develops into a thrower that you need. And it baffles me, Joe, is week one against the Steelers, he looked like a competent NFL quarterback who could throw the ball.
Yeah, I didn't
and
get that.
Ever since then, he's afraid to do it.
Yeah,
and I don't understand that. I don't know if he's being instructed not to do that or he's just scared to do it. But you can't play quarterback in the NFL if you're not going to try to get the ball to your guys, even if there's sometimes bad throws.
Well, you know, the amazing thing, and this is so Jettian, is that we have a quarterback who's absolutely horrible, and the guy hasn't thrown an interception.
I know.
Think about that.
I know.
And he stinks. I mean, come on. Only the Jets could this be the case.
And look, I wish they had a competent quarterback, but because Justin Fields is so freaking bad, that's why on that opening drive, I want him to kick the field goal because I knew the only way they were going to win this game, and they could have, was to win this game 12-9. That was their only way.
Or the defense
was magically going to force a turnover, but we know that only happens once every 8 weeks.
Oh, my God. Yeah. We still have, speaking of interceptions, 7 games without one. How about that?
It's incredible.
We still have a pick.
It's incredible.
Oh, my God. I am so disgusted. I don't see where it ever ends. I mean, I don't see where it ends. We got to get a big – we really do. We got to get a veteran head coach in here. Let's be real about it. All due respect to Aaron Glenn. I know he's got 10 games left this year. We need a veteran head coach in here that we can rely on to develop a quarterback – that knows what he's doing going forward, because I don't see it. This offensive coordinator, him too, he's
a little bit out over his skis, it feels like. But the question, and Evan and I were talking about this before the show, if it gets so bad, let's say the Jets win one game, two games, whatever it is, or none, doesn't matter.
Who are they beating, Teague, by the way?
Exactly. So let's say none.
Miami?
And they fire their head coach.
Right.
Who's going to willingly take this job?
You know what?
Because we saw this last year. Like, Ben Johnson didn't even want to be in the conversation.
I'm all for John Gruden. I know John Gruden had that issue. I think he's been blackballed. Whatever he said, forget what maybe you know.
Lawsuit.
Whatever the hell it was.
Going on a little bit now. So,
whatever. Yeah. Get me John Gruden. He would take it in a second. And you know what? At this point now, I am so desperate that I would give him the keys to the castle. You got the full show, bro. You are going to, how did Bill say it? You're going to buy the groceries and you're going to make the dinner.
Right.
That's what you're going to do. Because this is what we have to do something. Because where are we going? And if he brings this guy back, if he goes 2-15, now unless something happens over 10 games and he looks like all of a sudden he looks competent, they go to Tyrod and we start winning a couple games. By the way, has that happened yet or no? We don't know yet.
So what he said today was he's still thinking about it. He is still...
How could you be thinking about it?
It's open and shut. It's Tyrod Taylor. That's my answer, right?
Of course.
It's got to be, Evan, because if he doesn't, he's going to lose the team.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think
simple
that's
as
another,
that.
Another fact.
Simple
but
as
you
that.
Know what? You know what, watching this game, too? But we got no players, bro. We got no receivers outside of Garrett Wilson. Okay, Mason Taylor looks like a nice player. He's not a game breaker by any stretch. And let's be real about this. This offensive line, they're terrible.
Yeah.
I understand he's holding the ball, but, we got 5 sacks against Dallas, 9 sacks last week. This team had 5 sacks all year. They got 6 yesterday. come on. This offensive line isn't so freaking good either. You got this guy Simpson getting a stupid personal
every
foul.
Game. Every game
what
he commits a dumbass
doing?
Penalty.
What are you doing? I can't. Oh, my God. I can't take it. I'm really – This is about as bad as I've ever felt as a fan of this football team.
No
I
question.
I really got
to
say it.
No, it's not even close. Like, I think back to all the dark times in Jet history, and there's been plenty. I think this takes the cake. And a part of it is we are talking about a decade and a half now of not even experiencing a playoff or a decade of not even being above 500. Like, eventually it takes your toll on you, and they suck. That's the ultimate thing. They're boring. They're bored. I mean, I'm trying to teach my kid football. I'm trying to get him into football. We're in the stadium. It's a beautiful day.
Did you take Jet yesterday?
I did. And
How old is he now?
He's 9 years old now.
No, and you're really destroying the poor kid.
I am.
You're making a kid a Jet and Med fan. Tiki, he's making him a Jet and Med fan.
Well, I think he has a chance with the Jets. Or with the Mets. He has a chance with the Mets.
Yeah, okay.
But Jet.
There's a chance.
But Joe, here's the worst part.
It's a different kind of pain with the Mets.
Right.
And to tack it all
good
off.
Good enough, but not quite.
And to
make it worse, Friday night we'll be in Barclays Center for Brooklyn Nets opening night.
Oh, you go up there. Who do they play in opening?
Cleveland, Donovan Mitchell.
Are they playing Cleveland too, the Knicks are?
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's going to be a fun
Brooklyn
night.
Brooklyn Nets. Bro, that's pain, bro.
Oh,
I mean, I really, you know what I mean?
And you've said this, and I'm going to answer it as someone who roots for both teams. You've said, look, and I've heard you say it on Saturday, which I always listen to. You're like, bro, the Jets are the worst organization in sports. Maybe the Nets are close.
Mm. Right.
The Nets are a nightmare. They're a disaster. What a disappointment. They're not the Jets. Jets are number one. I don't even think it's that close. The Jets are far worse than them, saying something.
At least the Nets make the playoffs occasionally, right?
Yeah.
You did have Durant, and you had Harden, and you had Kyrie, and you had Pierce, and you had Garnett. You had some guys on the team at some point.
And you also feel like you like your head coach.
Yeah, I think I like my head coach in Jordan.
You like the head coach?
I do. He feels like a good coach. Now, he doesn't have the talent, but he feels like a good coach.
But the Jets are in an abyss.
Maybe the White Sox? Can we put the White Sox in there?
You know why I can't put them in there?
They won a World Series now. It's 20 years ago now that they won it.
Okay, we're 50 years ago. I mean,
no, it's actually 57.
57, sorry.
Remember, I was 15, now I'm 72.
Yeah, think about that. The White Sox are so bad. Meanwhile, they've won a championship in like a quarter of the distance.
You know, the highlight? The highlight of the game yesterday was watching some highlights of, like, Gastineau and Freeman McNeil, you know, back 40 years ago. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, oh, my, it was so, oh, it's just, oh, I can't even begin. I just can't begin.
Would you deal Breece Hall before the deadline?
I would deal anybody at this point. Mm. I am at the point now where I would try, and I feel bad for Breece because, you know, he's a better player than what he's doing because they threw two passes to the freaking guy early in the game. You don't throw it another pass to him. We don't even have – when is the last time, Ev, that we actually threw a screen pass? Ugh. We don't even have – I haven't seen a screen pass for the Jets in years. Years, right? Years.
No, doesn't make any sense. They'd have
Tiki in the backfield, right? And they'd have Tiki running up the middle every freaking time. Right? You would. That would be unbelievable.
I mean, it was early. Again, back to game one. They did a lot of different stuff.
You could catch 70 passes a year.
Right.
I mean, come on.
By the way, I was on some bad teams, Joe, and that's exactly what would happen. I'd catch 75 passes.
You did.
Because there was
nowhere
else
to go. You became one of the top backs in the game. I mean, you know, it's not for a period of time. But you know the best there was.
But you know what it is, Joe? Teams don't have patience anymore for that.
Especially
for a running back, because you feel like you can get another one.
That's true.
In the draft, there's three guys coming out every year, and you don't get chance to develop players like running backs anymore. Maybe wide receivers, you'll give a couple of chances, clearly, but not running backs. There's too many of them.
If we trade Breece, who's our feature running back? Davis?
Isaiah Davis at this point.
Allen's out for the year, right?
Well, yeah, I think, unfortunately, at this point, the answer is it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't
because
matter.
They're so bad.
No, you're right. Yeah.
So, like, there's going to be a point, I'm not sure when I'm there yet, you may get there too, where we're like, screw Tyrod Taylor and Justin Fields, let's see Brady Cook. Yeah. Let's just find out. Why not?
Well, I could see a scenario where you start Taylor and Cook's the backup. You know, I think I could see that scenario happening, where Fields is the third quarterback.
Yeah, but you're stuck with him unless you're eating a lot of money.
Well, they're going to eat a lot of money.
Oh, they're going to eat. They gave this guy $30 million. I mean, guaranteed. How about – and here's another thing. Glenn is so freaking arrogant. This guy has done – I know he was a very good player. I love him as a player. I mean, I got to tell you, like I said, next to Revis, he's the best corner we ever had. And I've seen him all, okay? He was a terrific player, no doubt about it. But he's so arrogant. Give me a break. You have won nothing. You have not even won a game as a head coach. And there's this arrogance about him. Really? You got to be kidding. But again, the letting Aaron Rodgers go, they still could have drafted a quarterback and would have next year. Letting Aaron Rodgers go was one of the worst decisions in the history of this franchise. Mm. And I blame the owner, Woody Johnson, because even if Aaron Glenn didn't want him, Woody could have said, look, he's the quarterback. He could have done that.
Right.
And I don't know if they would have got along, but he would have got along pretty good if we started winning some games.
Well, the thing he would have done, Joe, is that because the receiving core is not – I mean, other than Garrett Wilson, who missed this game.
They got nobody. They got nobody.
At least he makes, in theory, your wide receiving core better.
Right. That's right.
Justin Fields isn't doing that.
No. There's no question about it. I mean, what else can I say? And then I came home and I watched the Giant game. I couldn't believe – let me say this about the Giants, okay? All right? I don't know if they have a coach. I don't know about the coach. But they got a quarterback. This kid is good.
Yeah,
I know
he threw
a bad pick late in the game.
There's no doubt about it, Joe.
It should. But you know what's funny about that game? So tell me if you were thinking this, Teak. All right, as I'm watching this game. The worst thing that happened to the Giants in this game was him scoring that touchdown with 40 seconds to go.
I thought the same thing, Joe.
Right?
They were reviewing it, and they were like, it's a touchdown. I was like, dude, let it not be a touchdown.
Right. If he didn't score there, I think it was only first down. Wasn't that first down?
Yes,
right.
Yep.
Right. If just turn around and hand it off to Cam Scatabu. You score on the next play, and it'll be 12 seconds left.
Right, and the game's over.
Right.
And they can't come back.
100%. I thought the exact same thing. They scored too quick.
Yeah. They really did. And it was funny. I mean, that he got in, and that really came back to kill him. But that, you know, forget the outcome of the game. I get it was a brutal loss and all of that, you know. But this kid he's the real deal.
No, I agree.
I don't know about the coach, but the kid is the real deal.
And just think, we could have had him too.
Oh, my God.
But we went Armand Membu, and we'll take a shot at a quarterback next year.
Yeah. Okay, Woody.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm here. I don't live. I'm 45 minute drive to see you at Florham Park. Okay, I'm ready. Tell all you people there at Florham Park, all you Jet people, all you Yes people for the Jets. Okay, I'm here. I'm a real Jet fan. I've been here since 1965. You want to go through the history of the team? We could talk however long you want. Give me freaking Woody. Woody, talk to me, Woody. because somebody needs to get your head where it needs to be about this freaking football team. And if you don't want to do it, sell the damn team, okay?
Well said.
Sell the damn team.
We need the Woody Joe B Summit. So, Woody, if you're listening, have some guts and talk to a guy who's the unquestioned king of pain as a Jet fan. Have the discussion.
Great song by Sting and the Police. You know,
there you go.
That's the king of pain. We all are, bro. It's not just me. There's a lot of guys. You know, I just happen to be able to talk on the air here. But please, Woody, see me, okay? You know who I am. See me. You called me way back when you wanted the stadium on the west side, and I was wrong about the west side stadium. We should have had that,
yep.
Okay? I was against it at the time because of the tailgating. I was 100% wrong. You called me then to try to convince me about it. He did. This is going back when I was working with you.
Yeah.
He called me then, all right? Call me now. And let's talk about our football team.
Thank Amen. Joe, God always bless. Good always good talking to you, man.
Pleasure.
Love
See
you.
See you.
The great Joe B, after yet another pathetic, horrible, embarrassing New York Jet loss. He is right about this. If they fire Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji after 1 year, this organization is going to be so toxic, no one would want the job.
Yeah.
The one guy who would take the job is John Gruden,
right?
Because right now he's still toxic,
right. or a lot of young, non-experienced.
But that's not where you want to go.
100% coordinators would take this job because it's the job.
But it's the young, inexperienced coordinators who aren't as highly regarded as others.
Yeah,
because those that are highly regarded will be advised to don't take that job. Yeah. It's a career killer.
Stay where you are.
Yeah.
For another year and wait for the next cycle.
Unbelievable. Late in Friday's show, we all made Jackson Dart stat predictions. Let's see how we did. Now, the actual numbers on Jackson Dart finished this way. 15 for 33 for 283 yards, 3 touchdown passes, 1 interception, 5 carries for 11 yards, and a rushing touchdown. That's how it ended for Jackson Dart. So, Sean, let's go to our prediction desk. Where do we start?
So the question I have for Tommy is, are we starting with passing or rushing?
Let's go passing first.
Passing. So let's start with me and my passing prediction. 6 of 9 passing.
6 of 9.
For 63 yards.
Wow. 6 of 9 for 63. So you're way off. Who's next?
Okay, rushing me. He wants to go that way. 12 yards rushing, doesn't finish the game. We get the blue medical tent.
Well, I'll tell you, he got the rushing yards almost right. He rushed for 11, but he did finish the game. So, decent guess on the rushing, way off on the passing. Who's next?
All right, Tommy's passing prediction.
Jackson Dart will complete 15 passes on 25 attempts for 185 yards.
Well,
He will throw a touchdown. He will throw an interception.
All right, so 15 for 25. He was 15 for 33.
Yeah, it's close.
But the passing yards way off. He ended up at 283. Loogie had him at 185, was correct on the one interception.
All right, let's go to Evan's passing prediction.
17 for 30, 195 yards.
Are we underplaying?
One touchdown, one interception.
Yeah, and it's funny. I was on the high end of passing yards, and even I was 95 yards off.
Yeah, 17 for 30 is close. It's kind of in the middle. It's close. Who else?
Tiki's passing.
So he's going to go 19 for 28.
19 for 28.
For 170 yards. One touchdown passing. No interceptions.
Uh-huh. All right. So, I don't know who wins. I think we all lost.
Yeah.
To be
None
honest
of us were
with
close.
Yeah, well, we didn't expect them to play great.
Yeah, passing 3 touchdowns and 286 yards.
Here's what
I
learned.
Nobody saw that coming against this defense.
No, especially the 283. Yeah. I mean, the completions, fair. The interception, fair. The one person who lost in this game is Sean Morash because he said 6 for 9 for 63 yards.
Yeah,
he's leaving early.
Right.
I was playing Battleship. I was blocking Evan from his blue medical tent tape. all right, so we heard my rushing already. Let's go to the rushing if you want, Tommy. Yeah.
He will have 5 rushes for 13 yards, no rushing TDs.
I mean, he almost nailed it. 5 for 11 with a rushing TD. So I give Loogie the edge on rushing.
Okay, Evan.
17 for 30.
Oh, that's my pass.
195 yards.
He's going to rush. 10 times.
6 carries for 26 yards, no touchdown,
and he will have an extra turnover with a fumble that he loses on a strip sack.
Oh, got that one wrong.
Hater.
Yeah, wow, hater. We were all haters. I mean, Jackson Dart, and it's amazing because here he is only in his fourth NFL start, and the country and the city is still enamored by Jackson Dart, and he's been an afterthought on Sports Talk Radio today.
Yeah.
The 4th and 17, an afterthought. The 283 passing yards, an afterthought. The 3 touchdowns, an afterthought. It's kind of incredible because of everything else that led to the loss.
Because the only thing you care about is winning.
Absolutely.
Right. Now, even though what we saw was a lot in the like the positive column for Jackson Dart as a great quarterback.
Absolutely. He had a lot of positive signs, which is why I think the mood is depression on Monday, parts of Tuesday, and by the time you get to Wednesday as a Giant fan, you dust yourself off and you're fired up about the quarterback.
Right, you feel encouraged because of how good he's played in his first 4 starts.
Now, Joe said something at the end of our conversation about the Giants that I do want to address, because a lot of Giant fans are thinking the same thing, which is at the very end of this game, after the pass interference, and then Sean Payton runs on the field and gets a penalty that really turns into a 1-yard penalty. It goes from first and goal from the 2 to first and goal from the 1, that Jackson Dart and the Giants would have been better off not scoring. And so Joe laid it out as, hey, they were better off not scoring. Boomer said earlier today in the morning that the Giants should have kneeled on it.
Yeah.
Like basically run the clock down. Here's my thought in real time, and I got to be fair about this, and I think about this consistently. If I need to score a touchdown, I cannot screw around.
No. Kick a field goal, whatever.
That's different.
Right. If you got to score a touchdown, you just got to go score the touchdown.
There is no guarantee, as cocky as one may be about Jackson Dart and Cam Scatabo, you cannot assume you're getting that 1 yard for a touchdown.
I agree. You have to score.
You got to score it.
Now, with that being said, when they thought he was short, I said good. I thought that's good because they're going to score on the next play anyways.
But what if they didn't? They lose the game.
They have two more attempts because it's 4 downs. You know what I mean? It's why you run that weak, quirky QB. I don't even know what it was. It was like draw, sneak, whatever it was. You run that on first down because you have 3 downs.
Okay, but here's the problem that you're running into that you're not taking account for, and I have to take account for this. What if you get called for a false start? And now you're back at the 6-yard line.
Then you have your tight red zone play calling.
I know, but you just gave up scoring a touchdown.
Do you have your tight red zone areas? You know, you have to score.
It's
Mike Kafka to design something to get you in the end zone.
Yeah, design something to get me in the end zone right away. I can't get cute and think about the time. I understand that you gave the Broncos too much time. I get all that. But I can't take for granted that I'm scoring a touchdown.
It's funny now because the way the new kickoff rules have changed, and you just don't know where that ball's coming out to. The average starting line is about the 30 now. And so if teams need to kick a field goal because you can't make extra points, like New York Giants, they really only have to go about 40 yards.
Right.
You know what I mean? To get in the field goal range. Probably not even that. You know, maybe 30 yards.
Now, I don't know if you covered this on any one of your podcasts or on the postgame show.
Yeah.
I think I discovered something brilliant that Brian Daboll did yesterday that no one's talking about.
What is?
Are you ready for this?
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna take you into the Evan Roberts world. Now, Tiki could very easily say, this isn't true and here's why, but end of the first half.
Okay.
It's right before the 2-minute warning. The Giants are pinned back in their own territory, and it's about to be a 3rd and 8 from their own 4-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Giants get called for a delay of game. Remember that? Got called for a delay of game?
Oh, yeah. This was... I commented to Schmelk about this. I said, how is this possible?
So here's what happened. Get called for a delay of game. They move back 2 yards. It's a 3rd and 10. They then start...
2-12. There's 2-12 on
the clock. There's 2-12 to go. They then rerun the clock, and Dabes is able to take it to the 2-minute warning. Bang!
Because if the clock stops, the Broncos they have an extra timeout.
Right.
Okay.
Because they have the 2-minute warning timeout.
And if they run the play, it has to be before the 2-minute warning because the play clock was running out at 2:12. Yes. So they take the delay of game. It's only a 2-yard penalty because it's half the distance of the goal line. They rerun the clock. Now we take to the 2-minute warning. And so the Giants run their 3rd down play with 2 minutes as opposed to having to run it with 2:12 to go and the Broncos getting a free timeout.
Ah, so one of those delay games was actually smart coaching by Dable.
Yes.
So you picked up on that, Teak?
100%. I said, I wondered why it was legal.
Like, I was surprised by that too, by the way.
If the offensive team with the lead takes a delay a game, the clock should stop.
Yeah. They manipulated 12 seconds off the clock.
But I think it starts to get really nuanced if you start I don't know, like trying to figure out who has the lead, who doesn't have the lead,
right?
Who does this actually benefit? It just, it becomes too difficult in real time for, I think, the referees to figure it out.
Here's the real question, and I want you to be honest with me. Was Brian Daboll playing chess, or did they just screw up and it happened to benefit them?
It felt to me like it was on purpose.
Okay, me too.
Because Jackson Dart didn't even, he didn't like move.
They knew what they were doing.
He was just kind of standing there.
It's a small thing, right. And this doesn't mean I want Brian Daboll to win Coach of the Year and be given a new contract extension, but I noticed it early in the game. I wrote it down, and all I could think about was, I knew Tiki would pick up on it. Guy played the sport. I wondered if someone as brilliant as Sean Morris picked up on it.
Not that brilliant, Evan. That's a good job by you.
Disappointed by you.
Look, I missed plenty.
You should do a whole podcast about
by
that.
By the way, I should, because I was the only one defending Dable after the game. That would have been a nice, you know, carrot to have.
That would have been a nice little weapon for you to use. All right, let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Doug is in Connecticut. What's up, Doug?
Good afternoon, men. It's a great show. I've been watching you guys for years, and it's the best combo. The four of you guys together are phenomenal.
Thank you. We have a good time.
But I'm going to say something here.
Uh-oh.
You're all good family men. I can tell from listening to you guys. But I'm going to give Evan some very strong advice.
Yes.
I took my son to his first Jet game when he was 7 years old. He's now 40. He's now 40. He hasn't spoken to me in 33 years. And you've got a choice. You can take your son Jet, and you can change his name. Legally, I think you can change his name, which I strongly suggest you do. Because there's nothing but a terrible imprint you're leaving
on
your son.
Doug, here's the deal. Because I got a lot of this yesterday. Great. Met a lot of great people. The people of 314 are awesome. They're like new family members up in the upper deck at MetLife Stadium. It truly is. It's one thing I realized that I missed about going to games often, especially football more than any other sport.
Yep.
Those that are there, they live there. They are the diehards. And they were great people that I got to meet yesterday because it was my first day in my new section. But I said this to Jet, and I'll say it on the radio. I told him. I said, this franchise sucks. This franchise is abysmal.
That's how you said it to him.
Yeah. Wow. But I am never going to force you. You want to root for another team? Go leave. Like, you won't enjoy championships as much. I'm never going to leave. But I'm telling you.
Why would he not enjoy the championship?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's up as much.
Because I think
if he has an affinity for a player, player takes him to another team and he sees that player who he now loves win a championship, why would he not enjoy it?
Because I don't think you appreciate it unless you experience pain. That's how I view it. I could be wrong. Like, my nephew is a diehard Florida Panther fan and he loves hockey, and that's good for him. I don't know if he's appreciating the last two Stanley Cups the way Sean is going to appreciate a Yankee World's Bound. That's a bad example.
No, it actually is a good example. No, I'll tell you why it's a good example.
Why?
Because I experienced the 90s dynasty as a kid, like 6th through 9th grade or whatever. The 2009 World Series as an adult, and knowing that, you know, okay, 9 years have passed, that phase of life change, I appreciated it way more.
Oh, there you go. So that's my point. So Jet knows the whole story, and he's still electing to remain a Jet fan. Though I was worried in the middle of the game when he started peppering me with questions about Tiki Barber. I got very nervous.
And why? What did he want to know?
So first it was, we were talking about the violence of football. And I said, yeah, you know, you play this game long enough, you may not be able to walk.
Right.
And he's like, well, Tiki's in great shape. And I said, well, let me tell you about Tiki. Tiki retired at the top of his game. And he's like, oh. Mm. And he said, why? And I said, why not? So then he's like, so was Tiki really good? I said, believe it or not, he was very good. I'm not just saying that because I work with him. Like, he's this, he's that.
I appreciate that, Evan.
But then things got a little weird. So now he's looking at the signs, and he's like, what's that little logo next to people's name? I was like, that means they're in the Hall of Fame. Is Tiki in the Hall of Fame? I was like, he's close. Like, he was like a finalist last year. And then we get, well, why is he in the Hall of Fame? And I said, well, these voters, they're idiots.
Right. You got to have the deep conversation about why, how the voting of the Hall of Fame works. It's not quite like the MLB Hall of Fame, which I know you know a lot about, Jed. It's a totally different scenario.
Then he proceeds to, okay, well, when did he get into Roblox? And I said, that was long after he retired.
Very long. That was like a year and a half ago.
Yes.
That's what he remembered.
But the reason I'm not worried about him being...
we're friends on Roblox.
I know. That's why he remembered it.
Is he in school today?
No. Today is a holiday.
Let me play him on Roblox then.
Oh, jeez. Isn't that middle of the show? I was relieved, though, he's not being a Giant fan, because when I told him about the result of the Giant game and how they blew the lead, his response was, yes! So, sorry about that. Let's go to Anthony in Harlem. What's up, Anthony?
What's up, though? I was at the game yesterday, Evan. I told you the other week with my 7-9. I was sitting in 313, probably right next to you. But,
oh, nice.
Yeah, and so there was a moment yesterday in the game that my 9-year-old, there was some Panthers fans next to us. The guy was being a little obnoxious, and he was, you know, it was the beginning of the fourth quarter, and he says, how do you people watch this team every week? And, you know, he was just getting, you know, it felt like they were down by a score, but it felt like they were down by 30 yesterday. Mm-hmm. There was such a sense of depression in the building. So my son looks at me and says, Dad, can we go home? And we got back in the car and drove to Suffolk County, and he's driving home. I'm driving home with him, and he says, Dad, I wanted to smack that guy. He made me so mad when he was saying that about the Jets.
Oh, wow.
I get it.
And I just, I said to myself, Evan, I said, I did it to this kid. He's just hooked. And he's going to have a life of pain. And I don't know what to do. I feel so bad about it.
Yeah. Look, it feels that way now. But the thing about sports is things can change on a dime. And I think that's what makes the Jet run a failure so epic. Like, in football, by accident, you'll have a winning season every once in a while.
Right.
The fact that they've been so bad for so long.
What was the last winning season?
The last winning season was 2015.
Wow.
Think about that. That's a decade ago.
Yeah.
So a 9-year-old wasn't born.
No, you're right. So he has no idea. Even if it had happened in 2015, he's still young. He's still too young to remember.
That's why I said to Joe, when Joe was asking, are the Jets the worst franchise in sports? The answer is yes, because as bad as the Nets are right now, he's been to playoff games.
Yeah. There's a generation of young Jet fans that have never seen a winning season.
Correct.
Yeah.
So not to defend any horrible franchise, but it's why the Sacramento Kings are kind of up there. They've had one playoff appearance, I think, in 15 years. Mm. Like, if you're never, ever, ever in the playoffs, that's the level of ineptitude we're talking about. Even the White Sox, you mentioned the White Sox, they were in the playoffs like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
Right.
With the Jets, it's such an incredible amount of just patheticness. It's truly amazing. Let's go to Joe in Connecticut. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. Big, big fan of the show. I've been a listener, a longtime listener.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
I am a disgruntled Giants fan. I have been a Giants fan since 1968, and honestly, watching that game yesterday convinced me that Dable is not the man for the job. I think that the Giants, with Dable, with all the talent, potential talent that they have coming up, the best they'll be will be 10-7, 9-8. He just doesn't make good decisions. And point I'm going to make is, yesterday, up 19-0, I agree with you guys. Kick the extra point. Now, a few people said, well, maybe he didn't have confidence in the kicker, so he wants to go for two. Well, then how could he have confidence in the kicker at the end of the game? If you don't have confidence in the kicker and you're going for two when it's 19-0, then you might as well try to punch it in for two at the end of the game. All of a sudden you have confidence in the kicker. I just don't understand it. And those kinds of decisions, they'll never get over the hump.
Well, let me try to counter with one thing before you answer this, and that is maybe the failure on the two-point conversion earlier is a reason why you say, well, that didn't work either.
Yeah, but I think you also... Either, so if you make the extra point with a field goal, they're just tying you, right? If you miss the extra point as they did with the field goal, they beat you. If you miss a two-point conversion with the field goal, they beat you. So the... If you make the two-point conversion with a field goal, they don't...
You win the game if you make a two-point conversion. Because they're not scoring a touchdown with 33 seconds left.
100%. So it's an odd one, right? Because he knows that he needs to put a point on the board at the end just to ensure that he doesn't lose. And so I think the risk of trying to go for two and guaranteeing you if you miss it, you're going to lose is too high.
I think it comes down to, and this is the question for Brian Daboll. Did you trust your kicker?
Yeah.
Did you trust him at all?
But well, he did at the end, unfortunately.
Well, I think he kind of was forced to because of the situation that we laid out.
Yeah.
I think earlier when it's 19-0, you don't necessarily feel that way.
Right.
But here's the question, and I'm going to use your words, not against you, but your words to think about things.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Daboll is in his fourth year.
Yeah.
He is not Aaron Glenn. He is not a rookie head coach. I saw the passion in your eyes today. I heard the passion yesterday in the postgame about the decision, which all starts at the top, to throw the football on 3rd and 5 with Jackson Dart.
Mm-hmm. And we heard him talk about it.
Okay. This is his fourth year as head coach. If they are going to go to the promised land, decisions like that, which angered you greatly, cannot happen. So in the fourth year, do you trust that that man who made that decision is going to make the right decision in the middle of January?
So here's the reality. If making that decision teaches Jackson Dart, the Giants aren't going to the postseason this year. Like if they had won that game yesterday, maybe we're fooling ourselves that it potentially can happen. But they're likely not going to the postseason this year. So the only positive of having Jackson Dart throw the ball in that critical moment, again, a possession I've identified as one that you were supposed to waste to get the Denver Broncos to spend all three of their timeouts and then have to go the length of the field, presumably two times, to score and beat you, right? So, if you use that moment to have faith in Jackson Dart, who is a rookie and is going to make rookie mistakes, but he learned something for it.
Mm-hmm.
In failing, he learned something from it. And a year from now, he doesn't make that same, when they are a better team, when they do have more components, when they actually have a kicker and depth in the secondary and all these other things that we're talking about, and then he doesn't make that same mistake in that moment because he's experienced what not to do, then it's worth it. But in real time, in real time, what I care about with this team, and this is what I told Sean last night when I was screaming at him, MFing him, was that I care about continuity and continuation of development. And I think where this Giant team has come since Jackson Dart has taken over quarterback is a team that is truly developing into a good unit, right? They compete. They scored 30 points in two consecutive games, which is something you've never seen. Right? Maybe you got to go back, half a decade?
I made Sean do the research on that. He actually has the answer. We'll get to it in a few minutes.
My point is you haven't seen that in a long time.
Right.
So this team is getting a lot better than they were. But winning matters.
Well, that's the part.
And if they don't win, I don't see how Dave keeps his job. And so, yeah, we taught Jackson Dart a lesson because he threw a stupid interception on 3rd and 5 on a possession that all you had to do was get the Denver Broncos to waste their timeouts and then punt it to them and force them to go the distance. But if you don't win, it's going to be a whole new staff.
Yeah.
And then what happens?
Well, that's why I view
it. And you don't know what happens when a new staff comes in.
Absolutely.
So I'm terrified of that because I've seen it not work. I've seen like really good quarterbacks get ruined because the next staff doesn't do it the same.
Right. You got to hire the right guy. It's not just moving on. You got to hire the right guy. But I go back to what you said about teaching Jackson Dart a lesson. It's not about teaching lessons. It's about winning football games. And I wouldn't even accept the fact of, well, we know they're not a playoff team. You don't know that.
I agree.
They win that game and they're 3-4. I don't know where this goes.
Right.
I mean, I play that game with the teams I love. I'll play that with the teams I don't love.
Yeah,
you cannot assume that. You don't know the future.
Here's the question. Can they beat the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah.
The answer is absolutely, because they just beat them.
Okay, so there you go.
Can they beat the San Francisco 49ers? Absolutely. The 49ers aren't world beaters. Right? Can they win these games that they have coming? Of course they can. And that's going to be the question going forward is, you got 10 games remaining, what happens?
Yes.
And then I think the biggest thing as it pertains to this conversation we're having is, what does it look like? Right? Wins matter, but also, what does it look
like? Well, this didn't look good.
It did not look
good. We got a lot more to get to, including more on that final drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.